And welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Developing Up podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because your career is about more than the code you write. So if you call yourself a programmer, a developer, a script kiddie, a database administrator, a technologist, a technical architect, whatever you call yourself, if it's your job to write code, this is the podcast for you. And to all the new listeners out there, I want to say welcome, thanks for joining us. And for all the repeat listeners, hey, thanks for coming back and listening to another episode.
And this is episode 29, that's 29, which means the show notes for this episode are available at developingup.com/29. So have you noticed, does this episode sound a little different so far? It might. And here's why. So I spent the day today driving from Boston to Princeton, New Jersey, because I'm actually speaking at a technology conference tomorrow here at Princeton University, which means I'm currently in a hotel room. And I thought, you know, I'd make use of my evening. I'd record the intro and the outro for this episode, which is coming out on Tuesday. And I start recording and I realize hotel rooms are very echoey. So being a developer, being an engineer, I looked around, tried to find the resources and tools I had available. And for lack of a better word, I've built a pillow fort on the writing desk in my hotel room just to reduce all the echoes, and I'm sitting in it currently. I'll be sure to post a picture of it. And this is also relevant because the topic I'm speaking on tomorrow is on inclusive design. In this episode, we talk a little bit about what inclusive design is. I sat down and got to speak with Carrie Fisher. She is an accessibility lead and front-end developer. She's a big accessibility advocate. She has great blog posts and just thoughts and opinions on how to make your work more accessible and why that's important. So me and Carrie sit down and we talk about applying different perspectives to your development. We talk a lot about why it's important to apply different perspectives to your work, but we also talk a little bit about why it's important for your career as a developer, being able to take in and look at what you're building from different perspectives and how that helps you build better products. So here's me talking with Carrie Fisher. Okay, Carrie, thank you so much for joining me tonight on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So before we get started in what we're going to talk about, just maybe let the audience know who you are, what you do, some of your development experience.
That's a lot, but yeah, my name is Carrie Fisher, and I'm a front-end developer, and I'm a website accessibility advocate, and I'm a sometimes author. I started my website development career like a lot of people, where I actually did something completely different and then switched gears. I started as a geneticist actually studying fruit flies. Then I became more interested in actually the technology behind the science and not the science itself. So I went back to school and I switched gears to communications and started doing website development.
So from fruit flies to code.
Yeah, actually.
I've talked to people who have had very varied backgrounds. No one who's been a geneticist, so that is really cool that you switched from that to coding and development and accessibility.
Yeah, it's actually a little bit surprising how many overlaps there are between science and computers. I mean, nowadays, right, I can't even imagine going into a laboratory without the technology that we have. So it's grown a lot.
You're not going in with punch cards anymore. Or I would hope no.
I'm
lab.
Not that old. Come on.
So that's really cool. That's why one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you on this topic of different perspectives is because I know you do a lot of work with accessibility, and that takes, I would think, and from my limited experience, a lot of ability of changing your perspective in what you're doing as a developer.
Yeah, definitely. It's a different kind of mindset. This past year or so, I've been talking a lot about this thing called inclusive development, and it's kind of spawning off the idea of inclusive design that came around about 2005. And basically what you're doing is that you're rethinking the way that you approach development in a more holistic way. Whereas before, maybe you just like throw out your code and hey, it's done. But now we're talking about adhering to those inclusive design and development principles through your process. And so you're thinking about, so if you have two choices between code that is accessible to create or one that's not, then why not choose the one that's accessible? It's the whole idea of the trickle down effect of accessibility. So if you target people who are disabled, then in theory, it would help all the people that are underneath there that maybe aren't disabled. So it's just about a different workflow, a different mindset, a different perspective.
So I would kind of see that as taking what you're developing from a, well, it works for me attitude to a, how would it work for them sort of approach.
Definitely. I think that's a good way to put it.
Especially with accessibility, and disabilities can be like not permanent. You know, if you broke your wrist when you were skiing, then all of a sudden you can't use a mouse. So that changes people's ability to use whatever you build if they're
temporarily disabled or, you know, they have vision impairments or whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about accessibility and disabilities in particular, you know, if you're talking about the U.S., about 19-20% of our population or 57 million people are considered disabled. And then if you think about the world, that's 15% or 1 billion people that consider themselves disabled. Obviously, that's a huge number right there, but that doesn't take into account the things like you were just saying, people who are situationally disabled, temporarily disabled, English as a second language, people who maybe are hard of hearing or visually can't see as well, or they have cognitive issues, something like dyslexia or attention deficit disorder. And those people could also, and they don't consider themselves disabled, but they could also benefit from an accessible website or accessible code or an accessible design. So it's not just these, you know, 1 billion people in the world that could benefit. It's pretty much everybody.
I've even approached it from the perspective of, if you think about the devices people use in general or how their connection speeds they have, that changes the experience they have. And you have to take that into consideration when you write your development, when you do your development, who it is you're actually building for and why you're building it for them and who else you need to reach.
It's true. And recently I'm starting, it's a precursor here. It may be out by the time this goes live, but I'm writing an article about accessibility and search engine optimization. And if you think about the web crawlers as being disabled, you can't see my air quotes, but there's air quotes here that say disabled because they're blind, they're deaf, they don't have hands, they can't navigate a site, or if you have an app or whatever, they can't navigate it all the same way that you do with a mouse and a keyboard, right? And so if you don't think about the 1 billion people in the world that could benefit from your site, think about these web crawlers. You know, they also need to have accessible sites so they can get to the content that they want to.
Yeah.
So it's one, if one doesn't sway you, then maybe the other one will.
I mean, that's definitely one perspective that would, for client-based work, to pay for you to build, to spend that, not necessarily that it has to be extra time, but really pay attention to making the stuff you build accessible because they want that good Google ranking to, you know, reach their audience.
They do. And I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword because the article also is talking about a little bit, it's not a one-to-one ratio. It's not like everything you do for SEO will also help for accessibility and vice versa. But there are some overlapping places where you can, if you target those things, you kind of can do the two birds with one stone where you may be billing it as SEO work, but it also helps your disabled users.
That's definitely one approach to taking a different perspective to your development work, is how to build something that's usable by as many people as possible. I would say in a development career, there's also this part of having a different perspective, I would say, with the people you work with, because development is a team activity and you're not going to get along with everybody, or you're not going to be the same. Definitely, you're not going to be the same as everybody. So having people's different perspectives who make up your team or your clients or your bosses and being able to understand them is also an important part of having a different perspective in development.
I definitely agree. And coming especially from that perspective, like switching gears from being disabled, talking about that, talking about diversity in general, right out the gate, you know, just being a woman in tech, I'm automatically have a different perspective than the majority of the male developers that I work with, especially when you're talking outside of design and outside of HR and all those other sales and marketing and all the other things that happen in tech that aren't necessarily development, but part of the process. So having that perspective and being, you know, especially, it's a little odd actually even to me, like in 2018, that I'm still considered diverse when, like, if you look at the US workforce, like 59% are actually women and 51% of global population are women. But then we represent like 29% of all tech jobs. And if you cut out all those like things that we just talked about, non-developer roles, then that goes down to like 10%, 15%, depending on the numbers that you're looking at. It's really bizarre to be a minority in that sense, but in tech we still are. And so it's important, like you said, to take into account, like, you know, not only people who are disabled and women, but then you'll have everything else in between, like people of color, LGBTQ, all those people, you know, make your product better because they're unique perspectives. They more represent the global population. They're less of a silo of just one type of person in the world.
It becomes less of an echo chamber, I'd say, of, oh no, wait, there's something unconscious bias. That's what it is. where you sort of naturally gravitate to people that you see as similar to yourself and identify with those people. But then you only get one perspective. Like if you're just working with people who are exactly like you, you're going to unconsciously build things that are just for you and not things that could benefit more people or be as useful as possible. Taking that into consideration and recognizing that the way you think and the way you do things is not the only way. And you get better by working with other people that are different than you.
And I think that one of the great things about open source code is that we do have that ability for different perspectives, both good and bad, because we all have our own opinions and thoughts and lenses that we're seeing things through. But having that availability to communicate, it allows more of that inclusivity that you're talking about, different perspectives that you're talking about. So I think that it's a plus for the projects that we've been working on.
By taking a different perspective, either thinking about who's going to be using what you're developing or who you're going to work with and in your development and how they're different, I would say that stops you from making assumptions, or hopefully it does, about what you know something has to do and how it has to do it and how it has to be delivered. Because if you're taking these different people's perspectives, you're going to realize, I don't know everything. I really need to talk to these people and get an understanding of what they need.
When I talk about design or code, I think about it from the different angles, right? Again, with more an accessibility approach, I think, like, how would this blind person use this technology? Or not even that extreme, but how would a person who doesn't speak English be able, would they be able to understand this? If I have a slider, it's rotating too fast, are they going to be able to actually read what I'm putting up there? Or is there a different way to access this media file? So maybe you have a video and it needs captions and it needs a transcript. It needs other ways to see that content. So, or even if you're talking about more inclusivity, like, is the wording or the phrase that I'm putting in this copy, is this going to alienate or offend somebody? Like, it's a lot of, a holistic approach to it. And these are just examples of thinking from a different perspective. But I know a lot of people out there, especially maybe the quintessential coders, they maybe don't have as much time or perspective, or they can't think deeply like this, like we're talking about in abstract ways. But there's plenty of people out there that can help you in these different communities, or people who have processes in place to evaluate things. Just like, for instance, an accessibility audit can look at your feature or your site and say, hey, have you thought about this perspective? Have you thought about this assistive technology device? Like, how is it going to take this code that you wrote or this feature that you produced, and how is it going to react, you know, or how is a person using that technology going to see this content?
No matter what sort of development you do, I always think that you have a client, whether it's your own company, if you're building something for your company, or if you do actual client-based work like website development, essentially you're being paid to be the expert. There's no good defense to say, well, the client didn't pay me to do like an accessibility audit. You're the expert, and having that built into your own self-process or knowing where to look for to get guidance on that is, I think that's where clients are expecting that from the developers they hire, or quote unquote, the best developers are going to learn how to do that and build it into their process. Just like years ago, we started doing that with responsive design. If you build websites and you know anything about responsive design, you're not going to say the client didn't ask me to build it responsively. You're just going to deliver a responsive website because that's the thing to do.
Yeah, I actually talk a little bit this past year. I've been doing a lot of talks and writing about inclusive development. But the whole idea, like, I always liken it to this, the mobile first approach, right? And that came around about 2009. And we were saying, oh, okay, now just ignore your desktop and focus on mobile and progressively enhance things, or, you know, and it was just like this crazy mind shift. And you really had to like focus on changing your workflows and your patterns and your ideas about how you're approaching design and development. And at first it was difficult, right? I won't lie. It took a lot. And not just for people who were older, but like all of us, like it was a struggle. But once we got that into our workflow and once we got that into our process and it became a daily thing, it became less and less of an issue. And I think that we're on the verge of that now with accessible design and development, because it's the same thing, right? We're recognizing, okay, this is a need, just like we did with the mobile devices. Hey, this is a need. And now we're building that into our workflow, and it's becoming easier and easier if we take and incorporate like little pieces here and there along the way.
Yeah. So it's not about doing it all at once. It's about doing a little bit at a time to just work it in. It's like develop any way you develop a habit. It's the same thing of developing good habits.
It's true. I mean, a good example is maybe learning, you know, for instance, you're not supposed to only use color to identify a link, right? Because what if someone goes to your site and they're colorblind and they can't see the link, or they're hard of having visual problems and they can't see that contrast level. So if you learn that one thing and you change that one thing in your in one development, one design cycle, then the next time that you say, oh yeah, I forgot, we need to make sure these links are good. Okay, great. So what else can I add this time? That was an easy one. So it's like adding these little pieces here and there, you know, it's like cumulative education and development and a process in a way.
And it helps you just in your career, as you're doing that, you're getting continually, you're getting better at what you're doing and how you're doing things, and you're writing code or building features and functionality that essentially it's going to reach more people and it's going to be more effective for more people, which I always equate that developers, we all want to save the world. So, you know, no one, I truly believe no one writes
No one writes code.
Right. You don't do it on purpose. You write something to solve a problem, and you want that problem to be solved for as many people as possible. So
yeah, and I mean, along those lines, though, I can understand why accessibility and having, or even any kind of development process with unique perspectives, is that it can be difficult and it can be overwhelming because there are so many rules and there's so many things to think about. Even me, who I've done it for a few years now, I'm always like, okay, I know that this solves the problem for one group, right? But then it may introduce a problem for another group. And so you have that whole balance and swaying, and you're trying to decide, okay, in this scenario, particular scenario, what can I do to solve this particular issue? It can be overwhelming. There's a lot to think about, for sure.
Yeah, and so having, it's like almost decision paralysis of like, where do I start? What do I do? But you can just pick one. It's like doing test-driven development. If you're just getting into it, don't think about all the tests you have to write. Just figure out how to do one test. So it's just the same mindset as that. Just pick one little piece and then use it as a stepping stone to do more and more.
Yeah. And during these few presentations that I've done over the years, like I've developed these, I call my pathway to accessibility, right? Again, I'm using air quotes that you can't see here on the podcast, but I've got things that I always talk about when I talk to new people in accessibility in particular. But one of the first things I tell them is, you know, don't freak out. There's a lot to know, but educate yourself and start incorporating it into your workflow process. Figure out some tools that might work for you, get to know some people in the community and that sort of thing. But the very most important rule, I think, is the last one, which is keep trying, like try again. Rome wasn't built in a day, that sort of mentality, like one thing at a time, one piece, like we talked about earlier, just like in your workflow, incorporating one piece, and then it'll be easy to add a second piece the next time, or a third piece the third time, et cetera. So yeah, just keep trying.
Yeah, keep trying. I think that's some really helpful advice for this. And for any listeners out there, I would say, if you think about where you are in your current development career, where you are today was not where you were yesterday or where you were years ago, because you just, like you were saying, you kept trying things and learning things and figuring out and building on your experience. So it's the same thing with, you know, approaching things from a different perspective and accessibility. It's just, like you're saying, keep trying and build up from it.
Well, yeah, and I'm laughing over here because, like, failing is also part of trying. Like, it's the part that none of us like to admit. But I mean, how many quotes are there out there about, you know, if you try something 1,000 times, maybe like one will work for you, but you know, that one is worth the 999 other failures, right? If it's something spectacular and yeah, even if it's not, I mean, even if it's just a personal win, you've developed and you've grown as a person and, you know, a developer.
I'm a big advocate of failing early and failing often, and that I treat failures not as, they're not negative. They are a very positive experience, because that's when you learn your lessons. And then the next time that situation comes up, you're gonna be like, I'm not gonna do that thing again because it didn't work last time.
I kind of feel like all developers are really like that, right? We're pretty much people who are not afraid to try, not afraid to fail. And we're one of those groups that just like keeps going no matter how many times we hit our head.
I think it's because, again, this is my own opinion, that ultimately developers, what they have in common is they're problem solvers. So you want to solve that problem. And if you fail to figure out the answer, you're going to keep doing it until you figure out that answer. I think that's a common trait.
And I think nowadays we're very lucky in the sense that we have there's a lot of different avenues where we can keep those communication lines open. And so it feels like you're a little bit more connected and you have that, you know, those resources sometimes.
A number of different ways that developers can apply different perspectives to the work they do and how they work. I'll just start with one, which is learning how to use personas if you're a developer, where I know personas are big in UX and they help with design. But if you're not used to using personas, it's basically applying a fake name, an image, like building a fake person who's going to use what you build, who has a different perspective than you, the developer, and working from how the system will work for them.
For me in particular, like I don't do a lot of personas per se. I don't know if I should admit that, but I do have those personas in my head, right? Like I do think about a lot of those, again, more coming from accessibility communities. So one thing that I would do, for instance, if I was about to design a new website or make a new pattern in my style guide or something, thinking about inclusive design, inclusive development, like what design or development choice can I make that will maybe help a group, a subset of group of people who have a disability, and then also everyone else can also use it. So a good example would be like a font family choice. Again, we talked about like English as a second language, ADHD, dyslexia, learning disabilities, all those kind of things. All those kind of people could benefit from having good typography. If I choose a typeface that I know is going to work for that group, then I know that everyone else is also going to be able to use that or be able to use that font as well, see that font. I always think of it like as a trickle-down effect.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to think about it. Switching back gears to the people you work with and how do you apply yourself as a developer is being able to separate yourself from your code. So trying to lose your ego about the code you're writing, because I also think that we can be, and this is from my own experience, be a bit protective about, you know, the piece of code that we own or the method that we came up with that we think, you know, we should use in our product, that's the one way to do it. And everyone who says otherwise is wrong. It's not your way has to be the best way. Learning how to be like, this is the option that you presented. And if your team or user testing proves that you need to go a different way, not holding that against yourself, just taking that as a learning moment helps you or eases your ability to apply different perspectives to what you're doing and who you're working with.
Yeah, I think having things open source really helps check your ego a bit.
Yeah.
Because people will tell you if you're wrong. And I think it's great because it makes more robust code. Internally, I know that it's good to have people always checking your code too. I know we have linters and everything automatic nowadays, but it's good to get another set of eyeballs that says, hey, yeah, this passed the linter, but why did you do this? And it's a good, you know, reality check, but it's also talking about making sure that you as a corporation or, you know, maybe you're an office or you're in education or whatever it is that you're representing, that you want to represent your best face.
Developers listening who don't work with open source technology, but if you're on a team and you do use like pull requests or code reviews, you know, I think you get the same insights doing those practices as well, learning how different people would approach the problem that you went out and solved, or how you have an opinion on how someone approached a problem, and then learning from each other about it.
That's the best point about being a developer. I think that's one of the most exciting things. I mean, yeah, of course it's great to do things on your own, but when you work as a team and you get to produce something that goes even beyond what your knowledge and skill set is, and, you know, even just time, right? Time is finite, and there's only so much that you can do in a day. So if you have that times, you know, three or four developers, then it's exponential, right?
What would you say is the one thing that developers could do today to start applying a different perspective to their work or to, you know, make their work more inclusive? What's like the first step you see a developer could take?
The very first thing I would tell people to do is education. And education has different forms for different people. And again, this is from any perspective, accessibility, but also diversity as well, is that there's tons of people out there that are experts. They write wonderful books and they write wonderful articles, and you can see them on social media and different places. They're happy to impart that kind of wisdom. And so you just need to take that time and educate yourself. And again, you may not have the time to read like 20 books, but, you know, read one book or read one article, right? Start small.
or listen to podcasts.
There you go.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar is just to start applying different perspectives is asking yourself questions about what you're doing. Like, what if I had not 20/20 vision? What if I couldn't use a mouse? What if I was a computer doing SEO? If you start asking those what if questions, you're going to give yourself avenues to start researching and then learning different approaches.
It's kind of like a trickle, right? It starts as a little trickle and then it's like gushing, like waterfall. It starts small and then you realize you start in your small little bubble of world because we all have perspectives, we all have lenses, right? Like that doesn't mean that that's good or bad, but understanding that there's also all these others out there as well, like becomes exciting. And, you know, it's just like, oh, it's not just me. It's not just, I'm just not going to interact with this code.
That gives you more challenging problems to solve. And it's a lot more fun to do it that way than to do it, you know, your one limited view set. To wrap it up, my final question for you is, what would be your one piece of career advice for developers out there?
If I had one piece, see, I like to talk a lot. That's it's kind of hard to boil it down, but I guess keep moving forward and just staying true to yourself. And if you do that, you won't have any regrets, regardless if you fail. And that, you know, we remember that the world would be a boring place if we were all the same. So we need to embrace our differences and our perspectives and not to be afraid of them.
Very great advice. Thank you for that. Carrie Fisher, it was great to talking with you, being on the podcast. I don't have a good way to end it. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to once again thank Carrie for taking the time to be on the podcast. I found our conversation to be really insightful and informative, and I took a lot away from it. So if you want to know any more about Carrie, you can find her on Twitter at Carrie Fisher. That's CarrieFisher, as well as on Medium at Carrie Fisher, where she has a lot of great posts on accessibility and applying it to development, including the post that she mentions in the episode on accessibility and SEO, which I've also linked in the show notes for this episode. So a few takeaways I had from this episode. Number one, it's important not to approach your work with the mindset of it works for me, but instead approach it with it does it work for them? You know, you're not the core audience for whatever you build. Make sure you know who your users are or you have an idea of who they are and you build things that work for them. You can do so by using personas to guide your development work, especially helpful if you can develop personas that have disabilities or just are very diverse than you. It just allows you to think differently about what you're building and why, as well as gaining different perspectives on your development work in general. Doing so by opening up your code to reviews by your team members and gaining their perspectives, or opening the floodgates to the world of developers up there by creating open source software and getting inputs. And then finally, as Carrie mentions in the episode, don't try to do everything at once. Take small little steps. Make one small improvement on one project. On the next project, make another small improvement and build it up. It's a journey. You don't have to try to do everything at once. Take those different perspectives and make one small improvement. So those are my takeaways. I'd love to hear about your takeaways. You can comment on this at the show notes page for this episode at developingup.com/29. And if you want to share your further thoughts and opinions about this episode or any episode or just development in general, there's a number of outlets you can use. So there's the website, developingup.com, that features our full library of recorded episodes with show notes and sections for comments and conversations. You can find us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast or myself personally at MikeMiles86, or send a good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com or to me at Mike@developingup.com. And I'd greatly appreciate your help in reaching a wider development audience. If you could leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast, it helps other developers find this podcast and get better at their careers. So until the next episode, I wish you happy developing.